I welcome everyone to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. Forty years ago, Srila Prabhupada envisioned and established the largest program at that time in the history of his Krishna consciousness movement. And it was here in South Bombay. From March 25th to April 14th, for 11 days at Cross Maidan, Srila Prabhupada was lecturing, performing kirtan to an average of 20,000 people of Bombay every evening. And besides that, another 10,000 were coming in and out throughout the day listening to classes and kirtans from other devotees. The conception astounded the handful of devotees that were here. Srila Prabhupada, of course we know, he was here in Bombay begging Sumati Murarji to give him a free passage on the MV Jaladuta cargo ship. Thirty-eight days on the sea. It wasn't for tourists or sightseers. The ship was exclusively made for hauling cargo. It was the only chance Prabhupada had at the age of 69 to fulfill the order that his Gurudev gave him in 1922, when he was hardly 25 years old. Srila Prabhupada writes in his diary, when he was here in Mumbai, he was giving lectures to small groups of people, describes how he went to the Mufatlal house couple times, different places, sometimes Prem Kutir, which is not far from here. But his real purpose of coming from the Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan to Mumbai was to somehow or other convince this Vaishnavi lady to give him a chance to go to the West to share Lord Chaitanya's message. And he had nothing. He sat at her steps as a beggar because she refused to give him the ticket. Only because she loved the Swami so much. She refused out of love. Because she said, you are very old, and America is very cold, and no one will listen to you there, and the voyage there and back is very difficult. She said, you will die if I give you this ticket. You will die. I can't do it. She was extremely charitable, but because she loved Prabhupada, she was so afraid for his health. But Srila Prabhupada sat on her steps outside her office and told her secretary, I will not move until I get a ticket. So she gave the ticket. He arrived in New York City after heart attack, seasickness, with 40 rupees, equivalent to $8. Today, I think it's about $1. And he didn't know anyone. And he moved around from place to place, sometimes in Butler, Pennsylvania, sometimes the Bowery, sometimes the Lower East Side. And somehow or other, he was so determined, even when everything seemed like it was failing. He had a stroke, and nobody was really coming forward to help him at all. And in India, nobody thought it was possible, so nobody would help him from here, even his own godbrothers. It was, by material calculation, an impossible thing he was doing. But Srila Prabhupada saw every positive opportunity as something so special. If even one person gave some attention, he considered that such a sign of infinite hope. And because it seemed like everything was failing from a material perspective, Srila Prabhupada told that sometimes he would go to the docks, where the Jaladutu would go back and forth every few months. But he never got on it. Such determination. And little by little, a few people just became interested. Some of them more because they felt sorry for him than they really believed in his philosophy. And in desperation, when he had no place to stay, some people came forward and rented a little storefront on the Lower East Side. And Srila Prabhupada, he called it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Nobody understood how it's international. There's only a few people coming in a little storefront in a very run-down area of Manhattan. Prabhupada had a vision. And then the opportunity came to go to San Francisco and to Montreal. And then he came back to India. And by that time he had devotees. There were devotees in Europe, devotees in London, Germany, many cities of America. At the end of 1970, he came back with a handful of his very devoted followers. And he had a flat at the Akash Ganga building close by to here. I think it was on Bulabai Desai Road. And Srila Prabhupada one day told the devotees, that we should have a gigantic tent called a pandal, where tens and thousands of people come for kirtan and katha. And devotees had no money. They had hardly any supporters. And there were just a few of them who were totally inexperienced in getting anything done in India. Because in those days, getting anything done in India was totally different than getting it done in the West. A whole different culture of everything. In those days, it's not like the West where there's a price tag on everything. You have to battle for the cost of something. That means you have to really know what it is, what it's worth. So Srila Prabhupada said there should be grand propaganda, not propaganda, but advertisement. We should be cooking for tens and thousands every day. And he put Shamsundar Prabhu in charge of the advertisements for it. Put Tamal Krishna Goswami in charge of erecting the pandal. Giriraj Swami Maharaj, who was a brahmachari then, in charge of fundraising. And Madhudvisa in charge of the stage program. Madhudvisa Prabhu. And because of Srila Prabhupada's enthusiasm, everyone became enthusiastic. If anyone doubted that it could be done, Srila Prabhupada would say, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. That if Krishna wants it to happen, he can empower us to do anything. So can we imagine just a few foreigners who were all either the oldest ones were in their mid-20s. These were the very senior. This was the Varishta Vaishnavas in 1971. They were in their mid-20s. They were only devotees for 2-3 years at the most. This is 1971. And some of them were teenagers in a foreign car, foreign place, and they had no funds and nothing. So Srila Prabhupada got them all excited. He called for all of his, all the people that they had connected with in Bombay to help. And among those people that they called, most people thought this is impossible. They don't even have a temple. They're just living in a small little flat. There's just a few of them. And he wants to do this something that Bombay has never seen. In those days, it never happened before, something like that. So only a few people came. Ramchandra Chabria, Saduji Whitwell, G.D. Somani, Kartikeya Mahadevya, and about 2 or 3 others. They were the only people of the city that wanted to help Prabhupada. But they loved him, and he loved them. And they were willing to help, and really willing to do whatever they could. And Giriraj Das Brahmachari at the time, he was going, you know, office to office asking for donations. He asked Prabhupada, is there any way to force them to do it? And Prabhupada said, you cannot force Krishna consciousness. You have to inspire them. He said, you could also trick them. To offer from their heart. And Shamsundar Prabhu, how he did it, with no funds, with nothing, with no help, he was getting people to donate massive hoardings all over Bombay. Advertising. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and his European and American bhaktas at Cross Maidan for Hare Krishna Festival. He was getting streamers made. He was just going wild, putting it everywhere. It was the whole city was talking about, what is this? It's everywhere. And it became so much the talk of Bombay that at one point on top of Victoria Station, they made a huge hoarding and just wrote Hare Krishna. And everyone knew exactly what it meant. They should go to Cross Maidan. And he got a gigantic helium balloon with streamers basically telling people, this is where it is, come. But still, you know, the devotees never cooked for more than a few people at a time. And Prabhupada told that they didn't hire cooks. Devotees themselves had to cook for tens and thousands at the Pandal site. They never did this before. They had to manage it, everything. They had to fund everything. And he was telling them exactly, and every night they would come back and report to him, and he was specifically organizing every detail. And devotees felt so enlivened, so empowered just by his wish. And the first day of the Pandal, the first evening when Prabhupada came on stage, there was over 20,000 people. Hari Hari. And it was like this for 11 days. Prabhupada would give a morning class in Hindi, and then there would be kirtan throughout the day and prasad distribution. Some devotees would be on the stage. Yamuna Devi would be singing. Some of the leading devotees would speak a few things between kirtans and bhajans. People were streaming in and out, those big book tables, back to Godhead tables. They didn't have that much, but whatever they had, they were offering to the world. And I remember 40 years ago, I was living right around this area. I was taking a Burmese Buddhist meditation course somewhere near Buleshwar. And I remember where I was. There was just about 12 people taking this course, and I was one of them. And I was just meditating. About 15 hours a day, I would just meditate. Because there were 3 group meditations a day for an hour each, and then the rest of the day, you just meditate as much as you want, and I just did it all day. And it was about, I think, 10 days. And I remember at night, I would look out, because we all slept on the floor in this really old little flat. And I remember looking out the veranda, and there were all these people just sleeping on the street, in the alleyway. And I remember seeing these gigantic Bombay rats just walking all over the place. And they'd be walking over people's faces, walking over their bodies. And they'd be sleeping. And every now and then I'd see someone wake up because the rat went across their face, and they just kind of went like this. And I went back to sleep. It's amazing how people can get accustomed to whatever their particular situation is. And I used to watch, and I was thinking, these people must be some kind of yogis. They're soundly sleeping with rats crawling over them. So I was very impressed by the people of Bombay, according to my own realizations. And after the course, 10 days of sitting like this, I wanted to just walk. So I had no shoes. I was barefoot, and I was walking, walking, walking. I don't know where I was walking, but I kept walking. In crowded streets. There wasn't many cars in those days. And the cars were either ambassadors or Fiats. Yes? 2 kinds of car. I don't remember any other kind of car. And almost everyone was black. And all kinds of black smoke was coming out of it. But there wasn't many. It was mostly people. And I was walking and walking and walking for several hours. I came to a stop sign or stoplight. And I stopped with crowds of people around. And I looked up, and there was this gigantic sign that Shyamasundara Prabhu arranged that said, Hare Krishna Festival at Cross Maidan, with A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and his American and European bhaktas. I didn't even know what a bhakta was. And I had no idea who Krishna was. So it was some kind of spiritual festival, so I asked somebody, where is Cross Maidan? They said, it's just here. So I went, and that's where I discovered for the first time who Krishna was. And I spent the day there reading Krishna book, talking to some of the devotees. Then the evening came, and streams of people were coming in. And I remember Yamuna Devi was singing on the stage a little earlier, beautiful bhajans. And I was just sitting, listening and reading and listening and reading. I had to give back. I just borrowed the book. Then the person from the book table came and took it back. Because I had no money to pay for it. And they were not into giving free books. It was a big book. He said, you know, I have to take this book back. But he said, you know, you've been reading for so many hours. Would you like to do some service? I said, yes, of course. And he brought me over to a table at the other end of the tent. And there was Giriraj Maharaj. And he was in charge of a Back to Godhead table. And he said, people were stealing the Back to Godheads. So he had me, he gave me this little, some sort of a little knife and told me to poke a hole in the corner of the Back to Godhead, and then tie a string through it, and then tie it to the table. So that was my seva. And I'm just, you know, poking holes and tying and tying. Some of the people were untying it and still taking it. But it wasn't my service to stop them. It's only my service to tie. Then more and more people were coming until there was at least 20,000 people, massive crowd. And then Giriraj Maharaj said, our Guru Maharaj is speaking. Why don't you go and listen? So I went all the way to the back of this massive crowd. The end of the tent was open into a field, and I was way back there. And devotees, there were maybe about 20 devotees on the stage. I was far away. But I remember my godbrother, Madhudvisa Maharaj. He was playing mridanga and devotees were dancing. And I was used to this Himalayan yogis. I was trained up by them. And they never danced. So I was thinking, why are they dancing? They're dressed like sadhus, but they're dancing. But I was not judgmental, I was just confused. But I remember as I was sitting there, I was thinking, I'm never going to dance. And then Srila Prabhupada came on the stage, and he offered his pranams to everyone. And then he sat on a beautiful red seat, like a Vyasasan, in the center of the stage. To our left of the stage was an altar with deities of Radha and Krishna there. I remember my godbrother Nanda Kumar Prabhu was pujari doing seva puja. And devotees were dancing, and ladies were dancing, and men were dancing, and they were all white people. So this is really a culture shock, even for a white person like me. It was very special. And Prabhupada sat down, and the kirtan continued, and he was playing either a gong or kartals, I'm not sure, but the kirtan was going on. And I remember he was so effulgent, and he looked so graceful, so humble, but I was so far I could hardly see him. And I was thinking in my heart, I wish I could get closer because I'm so far away from seeing this great saint. But I was too shy to step in front of anybody else. And everyone was packed in by the thousands and thousands and thousands. And then I saw Prabhupada call over one devotee who was Guru Das Prabhu. And he pointed out and spoke something to him. And Guru Das Prabhu was going like this, looking out in the crowd, going like this, asking someone to come, but nobody came. And he came down off the high stage, started walking, 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 walking through the crowds, and ultimately came to the very back and walked up to me and said, Prabhupada wants you to sit on the stage with him. And I was very much accustomed to seeing supernatural things living in the Himalayas. But this really shocked me. I said, how does he know me? And he didn't answer my question. He just took me by the, grabbed my hand and pulled me. He was strong too. He pulled me. And I was like, surrendered to destiny. Wherever he pulled me, I just walked behind him. And he was going through all these crowds and he was getting people to move. I would never do that, but I was getting pulled. So I felt very much entitled since I was getting pulled. And he pulled me through all these crowds. It's at least 20,000 people. And he brought me right up to the stage. And he brought me right up to Prabhupada's Vyasasan. Because there was loud sound system and loud kirtan, there was no possibility of speaking. So Prabhupada just greeted me and smiled and went like this, meaning, please, you may sit here. So I sat right about this far away. Then Srila Prabhupada led kirtan and then he gave lecture. And it was just absolutely beautiful. And after the lecture and the kirtan, he stood up and he started to walk to the steps in order to get off the stage. He walked right by me. And I went to touch his lotus feet, to collect dust, to put it on my head. But as soon as my hand was inches from his feet, one devotee shouted, "No one touches Prabhupada's feet." And I felt so ashamed that I did something wrong. And I really felt that I made a great offense. But Srila Prabhupada, I looked up at Prabhupada. I was on my knees, he was standing up. And he smiled at me and said, "You may touch my feet." So I touched his feet. And I put the dust on my head. And I quickly looked over at the person who chastised. I looked at the person who chastised me really quickly, just to see if something might happen. And he just shook his head and kind of looked at another direction. And then Srila Prabhupada said to me that you may come and sit up here with us every morning and every evening for our classes. Which I believe I did every morning and every evening. Morning was Hindi. There was nobody translating for me because nobody knew Hindi of the foreigners. But just the vibration seemed to really purify and enlighten me. And just to be close to such a compassionate and great Mahatma was such a treasure in my life. That was 40 years ago. Today, and for the next few days, it was glorious how Srila Prabhupada, there was nothing that could stop him because he had such total faith in Krishna. And he was completely fearless because of that faith. He could go to the West with nothing and establish a whole movement. He could come back to India with nothing and have a program that even the wealthiest people of Bombay couldn't put together. With just a few inexperienced helpers. It was the power of Srila Prabhupada's love, the power of Srila Prabhupada's compassion. And that program established the Hare Krishna movement in a powerful way in India. So on this occasion, personally, it was the time when Srila Prabhupada planted the seed of his compassion in my heart. And it is perhaps the most meaningful event of my whole life. And I thank Srila Prabhupada. If he didn't put on that incredible festival, I would have just walked back to the Buddhist ashram that day. And, you know, watch the rats. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And it was this fearless mood of ultimate faith in the love of Radha Gopinath that Srila Prabhupada reached millions and millions of hearts. And I remember the last day of the Cross Bay Dun Festival. Srila Prabhupada had beautiful white marble deities. There were two sets. One was Radharas Bihari and one was another. They were donated by the Birla family. And Srila Prabhupada had a procession from Cross Maidan with the deities to Chopati Beach. And they had a pandal set up here at Chopati. And that was the grand finale, the culmination of that, the largest festival in the history of ISKCON to that day. The grand finale was procession to Chopati. where Srila Prabhupada had the deities on a beautiful palanquin. And here, just steps away from Radha Gopinath Temple, Srila Prabhupada addressed tens and thousands of people who were sitting in the sand, hearing his kirtan, hearing his lecture. Now, 40 years later, we're all together here in a beautiful temple with beautiful deities, remembering. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And yesterday we had a wonderful Ratha Yatra at Shivaji Park. I was told it was overall a lack of people that came. And Radhikapati Prabhu and Mahaprakash Prabhu and their whole team of devotees, I don't have a list of the names, against so many odds and obstacles, they put that together. Up until the day before, they didn't have final permission to have it. They really struggled, and even though there were so many restraints, it was a fantastic festival. I was actually planning to tell the story of Cross Maidan last night, but then I was told that I was told I had till 10 o'clock. I started at 7:30. Then 15 minutes later, I got a note that you have to end the kirtan and lecture by 8 o'clock. So everything I was about to say got all mixed up. But at least I could tell the story today. But those devotees who put on this program at Shivaji Park, they really were in the spirit of Srila Prabhupada and those original devotees at Cross Maidan. And I'm so proud of them, so grateful. And in reciprocation to their love, surrender, and incredible devotion, I'm going to read the message that they have given. Are you ready? After the Ratha Yatra festival celebrated yesterday, there is a lot of trash left behind in the Shivaji Park ground. The organizers of the festival have requested if devotees can come and help in cleaning of the grounds after 4 p.m. today. Thank you all. So if you want to make special spiritual advancement today, following in the footsteps of Maharaj Prataparudra, who was sweeping trash, you can go and get Lord Chaitanya's special mercy. And I must go to Hyderabad to catch a flight. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm.